listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're 2.5 season card holders at Ashton Gate. We love the club, the game, and all things Bears. Well, we haven't got a Premiership men's game to review this episode, but we do have Newcastle Falcons to preview. But there are a couple of other things that we thought were worth talking about today. So we activated not an emergency pod, boys, but I'd say more of a, you know,
an interim pod.
So some of the things we're going to talk about is the fact that actually we, and some people may have seen this already, we have decided to do a live pod in front of an audience next Sunday. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Secondly, we the club announced the season ticket renewal details this week. Yeah. And it's fair to say that's caused one or two bits of controversy, but we want to have a little chat about that and try and get a balanced view of it. Thirdly, there has been one re-signing and one signing and since the last time we had a pod, so we'll talk about that. And maybe some speculation on who we think is going to be off and whether what the sort of player we might want to get in for next season. And then finally, we did actually have a live game, I should say, to go and see. Miles and myself went down to Shaftesbury Park this afternoon to watch the women in their Allianz Cup semi-final against Gloucester Hartbury. And we'll have a little chat about that. I'm Pete, and I'm joined by Lee and Miles for a cheeky beer and a bit of rugby banter back at the Bristol Beer Factory tap room. We're not on Zoom anymore, boys.
No, we're live.
No more freezing cold veal calls and you know, bobble hats to wear.
I can tell we're live because Pete hadn't had that scripted, had he?
No,
I love it.
It wasn't the best intro ever, was it?
I love it when you ad lib, mate.
Exactly. I know.
Like his teaching, mate.
Yeah. Well, no, I plan every lesson to the utmost detail, as you can tell. Well, look, boys. Let's get on with it, because the first thing I wanted to talk about is really not to you lads, but to everybody out there listening.
The masses, the millions, the thousands.
No, Miles, the millions.
The millions of
listeners out there that we have talked about this for a long, long time. And we have finally decided right at the last minute to open up one of our episodes at the tap room to a live audience.
The criticism.
Yeah, it's potentially amateur pod suicide, but why not? We just thought, let's do it.
Well, we're nothing if not honest, are we? And the thing is, you know, it wouldn't be us if we planned it for months and months in advance.
Exactly.
So we'll wing it just in front of more people.
If we'd have put a lot of effort in, it wouldn't be us, would it?
but then again, boys, you say wing it, but actually we've organised it quite well. So for those of you that haven't seen our social medias, the basic details are is that from 6:30 next Sunday, the 21st, post Falcons game, we will be recording this pod in the Bristol Beer Factory taproom studio bar next door. We are inviting people to come down and be our audience. There is an Eventbrite sign-up sheet. It's free to come in, but we are asking people who are intending to come to sign up to our event page so we get an idea of numbers. There will be a 10% discount on beer, and the Bristol Beer Factory tap room normally close at 7, but they've agreed to keep the bar open for the duration of the pod. We may have the odd surprise as well, but not that sort of prize. If you're wondering about guests and things,
there might be
aim lower, folks.
We're talking like audio visual, like that's about it. So best thing to do is all of the details will be in the show notes and also on our socials. The other thing I should say is I've also set up a link to a Google form where if people would like to submit questions that we could perhaps deal with in the second half of the show, that'd be great. And there are a few other questions in as a bit of a survey that I thought would be fun to find out what people think about the season so far. So, boys, are we ready for this next week?
Yeah, really excited to do it because we have spoken about it for a while, haven't we? Yeah. And it's actually, I think it's been on our tick list for a long time. And, you know, it's obviously there's a massive amount of apprehension as well.
Yeah.
But personally, I think we're all excited to do it, and we're looking forward to it, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We talked about this for a couple of years. We've you know, toyed between a few venues, haven't we? Yeah. And it's great. Our fantastic mates here at the Bristol Beer Factory have just laid it on a plate for us. They've been exceptionally helpful, really supportive, staying open late. I mean, the beer's bloody good anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And the venue's fantastic. So, you know, we're going to give it a go. It may not be perfect.
Yeah.
But that's what we do, you know. We just chat about the game, and we love fans' input, and you know, and the fact that we're going to have people throwing, you know, maybe throwing a beer from the back of the room. Hopefully not at us, but you know, we'll give it a go.
To be on the safe side, I have instructed the bar staff to use plastic glasses only.
I mean, I would say I think our listeners know us well enough by now to know that it's not going to be a polished live performance. You know, you're not going to get like Bono on stage, are you, or the Rolling Stones doing their thing? But
no,
you know,
no.
But we will be honest, and we, you know, we're looking forward to doing it.
We are looking forward to it very much,
and also really looking forward to seeing the listeners as well, because it's quite a cozy kind of atmospheric setting here as well, isn't it? So it's going to be a nice little chat.
It's going to be intimate.
Yes,
not in that way though. You know, in a good way.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, boys, anyway, I think we've we talked ourselves into a bit of confidence there. That was the idea.
Okay. And the Jamesons are up next week.
I mean, the only one of the problems I can see with it is that if we end up having me and you, Miles, too many beers at the rugby, particularly, we might have to hold back on the double pinters next Sunday, because it's Sunday afternoon.
One, two pints.
We need something
to settle the nerves.
Yeah.
I think it's finding that balance between, you know, just having enough to go on stage to take the edge off, to speak, but without going overboard.
Yeah. God, you know Lee's bladder. It'd be a nightmare.
I was going to say, I think you two will be fine. I'll be more worried about myself than you two.
Well, anyway, as I said, next Sunday, 6:30 onwards, Bristol Beer Factory Tap Room. It would be helpful if you could sign up, but obviously everyone's welcome. Right, well, let's get on to a bit of chit-chat, boys. As I said, we do have one game to talk about, the women's game, which I mentioned, but we'll leave that to the end. But I think the first thing we'll chat about is this week we saw the club announce their season ticket offer for next year. And, well, I think we want to discuss it in a kind of balanced way, because I think it's fair to say that there are a few key issues that came out of it. From a positive point of view, there was very little increase in prices across the board. Mm. And actually, that was quite a big surprise, I think, to a lot of people. And the club, you know, produced a nice little table as well to show us how, you know, we are basically, we have the cheapest season ticket in the Southwest.
How lucky we are.
And fair play to them, because, yeah, it was a surprise. And all of us have been moaning, I imagine, behind, you know, in our homes about how everything else has gone up in the last year or two. Everything's got more expensive and so on. So it was a pleasant surprise, I've got to say, to find that I think mine's gone up by 10 quid or something like that.
Yeah, it's,
you know, that, and that's fair play. But there was a little bit of a sting in the tail, because one of the other bits of detail was that the club also announced in this same news announcement that they had decided to move the family area from the two Upper Lansdowne areas, I forget which they are, W6, W7, whatever, and take them down to three blocks of the South Stands, essentially the 20, 18, 19 and 20, which are below the Heineken Lounge and that sort of area there, under the premise that they are building the youth season ticket offer and they wanted them closer to the action. And of course, this led to, well, let's fair say, some pretty salty comments on some of the social forums that I've seen. Because essentially it means that people who have got season tickets in those areas and have had them for up to the last 10 years have really got no choice. They have to relocate somewhere else, either within the South Stand or they're being offered to relocate to the edges of the Dolmen for the same price as the South Stand. So essentially they're getting a cheaper Dolmen ticket, but they have to go to the ends. And of course, this raised a few eyebrows. Now, it's really hard to know the extent of people's negativity towards it, because it potentially is affecting up to 1,000 people.
Mm.
But it's only, there's a fair number of people are complaining, but you don't know what the other people think. And of course, it doesn't affect 9,000 other people in the stands at the stadium as well. So, but of course, you know, even if one person is upset about something, it's an important point to discuss.
Yeah.
So, boys, I've kind of given you quite a long intro in there just to check that you knew what had happened.
We knew.
But I'm interested to know what you think about this. So, I mean, maybe I'll come to you, Miles, first, because you've got a season ticket to think about. And what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, we are lucky enough, Pete. I don't know if fans probably know that we sit in the middle of the Dolmen and we are not affected by this displacement of our season, you know, of our seat. And we are lucky enough, as you said, to have only seen like a tenner increase in our costs. And I think that's great value for money. Yeah, you know, a big tick for us. You know, times are hard and things are going up in price. However, you're absolutely right. We have been lucky enough over the seasons, haven't we, to sort of move from around the Dolmen wings when there was unreserved seats and, you know, you sods used to send me there 3 hours before the game to get you a seat, and then we decided to move to the Dolmen Centre. However, you know, there's nothing for us to complain about. But I now fully appreciate that up to 1,000 fans have been displaced to areas which I don't think there's much argument. We were chatting about this afternoon that the periphery of the Dolmen wings, I mean, right on the edges of Atio and the sort of semi-standing area, are not great views compared to the steep banking in the south stand, which you've had for 10 years, where you might have sat with the same group of people for 10 years. So, yeah, for them, I fully understand their grievance against the club. And I think more so, we can chat about, is the fact that they were given only 2 days' notice to move. Fully understand the family movement, although it's the third time they've moved. So if the club got it right this time again, and are more fans going to need to be displaced in a few years. Anyway, that's my rant. And Lee might have something different to say about the matter.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few key points. I'll try and summarise it as best I can. I mean, I personally felt like the family stand in the Upper Lansdowne never worked anyway, and I think we should get that elephant out of the room. It never really worked. For me, anyway, you know. And I just think there was a lot of self-detachment, I would say, for a lot of people there. And I think we can be under no illusion that this whole process is with a long-term view in mind from the club. You know, I don't think they would purposely upset supporters without having a vision for the future. Now, having said that, it's a massive gamble because we're talking about loyal supporters, just like the three of us sat around the table here, loyal fans. And some of them are really up in arms, and I can completely see their point of view. I mean, I think that the long-term view is that the club are thinking they're going to build a section there, and you know, in the Dolmen stand, in the safe stand, sorry. And then I think then they're going to build for the future, and they're thinking about families. You know, more families are going to be, because we've already lost a lot of supporters who play combination rugby now, haven't we, over the last 10 years. It's a massive gamble. And I would say, I don't know if it's a gamble that's going to work, personally. And just to bring up what Miles had said, I'm talking about, you know, the kind of first-hand experience at the Tottenham Stadium, the new Tottenham Stadium. When the new stadium was built, people couldn't get back into the same sections because obviously it's a lot bigger stadium. And once you lose that kind of almost like, it's like around us in the Dolmen, isn't it? It's like a family. Mm. Once you lose that, you will lose atmosphere. You will lose that kind of, you know, family feeling throughout the whole stadium, you know, in those sections. And I think once that's gone, that takes a long time to build up. So it's a massive gamble from the club.
Yeah, I think you summarised that really, really well. Well, I have seen the odd comment saying that some people actually quite like being up in the Upper Lansdowne. The kids quite enjoyed it because they saw the game in a much bigger area. Yeah. I wonder whether the club are, you know, they're trying to mix because technically a kid could sit anywhere in the stadium, but they're obviously trying to get them so that they can give them added value and give them extras, like the kind of players signing autographs afterwards and activities. And, you know, in the corner of the South Stand, or the South Stand is where they do the Q&A before the game, and it's a sort of wider space, and they've got the shop bit down there. I mean, you know, you could be cynical and say that they're trying to maximise, you know, maximise the kind of activity so that has a commercial effect. But of course, what's wrong with that? Considering rugby clubs are in, you know, it could be actually a very sensible consolidation move. But obviously it isn't if it's then, you know, negated by, I mean, there are people who have said online, you know, they're not going to renew their season tickets. And as you said, it's a gamble. I mean, they're gambling on the fact that they'll get more people, more families buying season tickets that may counterbalance any people that don't. But it's a difficult situation. I think the big problem, as you said, is perhaps the timescale of it, and perhaps it could have been consulted a little bit earlier, or people could have had a bit of time to get used to it. But it's a tricky one. We don't know. Time will tell when we find out how many people buy season tickets.
Ultimately, the timescale thing is pretty awful from the club, I'd say, because, you know, these people have had season tickets since season cards were season tickets. Mm. So, you know, the timing of things, you know, the lack of the, you know, just the 2-day kind of timescale on it is pretty.
I mean, there is a certain irony in that it was kind of marketed as a 10-year anniversary.
Yeah,
you know, we are a 10-year.
Yeah, it was.
And there's an offer that we're giving. We're keeping the prices down as part of this 10-year anniversary. And then people that have been in a particular place for 10 years have been booted out. So it's very hard to square that circle, I think. And I don't know. It's not, you know, it's easy for us to sit and speculate on this. And obviously people have individual stories to tell, but ultimately, you know, it's a big business and they have to make decisions.
Yeah. And like you said, right at the beginning, like, we have to have a balanced view on it, on the whole situation, don't we?
Yeah.
From every angle. Yeah. So.
But we, as always, we welcome people's comments.
Yeah.
Use our Twitter account as a forum if you just want to vent. You're very welcome but also give us your opinions
this could be the goat of 1,000+ season card holders. I mean, season,
it's definitely in the goat territory, isn't it? As there's always, you know, it's that's life, isn't it?
Yeah
Well, I think we've done that. I think we've covered that. I don't know if there's anything else on the season ticket. I think we'll see how that pans out and take from there. But let's focus on something more concrete. We've had one re-signing and one signing. So the re-signing is Santi, or I shouldn't say re-signing, it's a contract extension. So Santi Grondona, the older Grondona, who we signed last season just before the World Cup started, and then he went and got a ACL. It wasn't even in a big warm-up game, was it? It was shame, real bad accident for him. But he's been working hard and has obviously been given a contract extension, which, I mean, I'm assuming that he would have stayed for at least one more year anyway, and this extension is maybe another year on.
Yeah.
Because we'd be pretty gutted to not see him at all ever if he left. And I think we've talked about how we think we might be remodelling our pack a little bit next season, so I think it's pretty positive news.
Well, from accounts that I've heard, this guy's been training very, very hard, and he's an absolute beast.
There was some talk that he might even make an appearance this season
at some point, end of April, beginning of May. But I think we're going to have something to look forward to when he's got a Bear shirt and he's on the pitch.
And of course, his younger brother has already made an appearance at Bedford, and
he ripped it up,
and
didn't
ripped
he?
It
yeah,
up at
yeah,
Bedford.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, I mean, it is quite exciting to think we can have a pair of brothers who just, I mean, you know,
proper
that little
filth,
an absolute
filthy pumas.
Who, but they're kind of they're that extra brotherly bond might just give us that 5% edge in the breakdown. I mean, I'm quite excited because
I feel like going by the Melbourne now.
I'm excited the fact that it's like a signing we've never seen. So it's unusual, isn't it? Poor chap, you're right. He got injured in the World Cup, the knee, and, you know, huge rehab. I mean, I'd love to see him just get a run out of the game before the end of the season and then, you know, get our juices flowing for that Malbec. And then we were drinking it next year, weren't we?
Obviously, Bristol has a heritage of Argentinian players, particularly, obviously, the 2000s with Pichot and Contemponi. And I don't know about you boys, I've always liked Argentinian rugby players. It's just something about, you know, obviously, the England and Argentina have a complex relationship in the wider sense. But I've always felt that rugby was something that was more than just a game to Argentinians.
And I think also it's that kind of adage again, where the Argentinians always, you know, obviously, you know, the Brits, the English took the game over there and they've taken it on and they've adapted it to the way they play. And I think, so there's always been that, you know, that complex relationship, as you say, but also that mutual respect between.
Yeah, maybe this may open up a pipeline of Argentinian talent to the West Country, and there's plenty out there.
Absolutely.
The other big signing, of course, which is a signing, and it was not a very badly kept secret, which we assume is Carl Sinclair's replacement, is Lovejoy Chawatama. He was at Irish, released by Irish, has been at Quins. He's 31, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing for a tight head. But I don't think he's the sort of tight head we're expecting to be doing little chicken wing passes out the back of his hand and running 50 yards for tries like John Ofoa used to do.
Actually, we should mention.
Mention it now, otherwise we'll forget.
Mr. Ofoa, we should say, just announced his retirement in the
age of 40.
At the age of 40, 516 appearances, and what an absolute legend. So we doff our cap to Big John, don't we?
We do doff it.
Especially that one game at Leicester, we doff our cap.
Yeah, well, that is that. I mean, to be fair, that watching sport is very much about memories, and that's going to be a memory for both Bears and Leicester fans. It gave Leicester fans a bit of oomph, gave them something to
moan
get
about.
They were down in the dumps a bit, and it's given them. I feel like we did them a service, got their adrenaline going, and look what happened. They went and won the Premiership,
and that was all down to us.
And I never heard them thanking us for that, for getting them angry.
They wouldn't, would they?
No, and I mean, Steve Borthwick, it pumped him up. I'm sure Pat rang Steve afterwards and said, look, Steve, you know, I did it for you, mate. I did it to get, I felt as though you were being a bit passive. Yeah. I needed to get you going. And look at you now, you're in charge of England.
But getting back to Chawatama, I would say this is a signing that fits the bill for us, because we've already got young players in the wings.
100%.
And as we talked, you know, pre-pod earlier on, I think this is a guy who's going to mentor Kloska, you know, and the youngsters coming through.
Jimmy Halliwell. Big Jimmy Halliwell.
And big Jimmy. And I think this is a good sign. He knows the Bristol area. I mean, he went to Uwe here, didn't he? So
he was in Uwe in 2014. He represented England students. He got four caps, so he must have been around that time.
Yeah.
I think he played at Clifton. Box. He was on loan at Clifton for a bit. Those days. So he knows his way around town.
Yeah.
I mean, the only slight concern I have is that he's only made five appearances for Quins, and I don't know much more than whether he's injured or whether he just. But then again, I don't know if you boys saw Quins against Bordeaux at the weekend. But
fantastic.
It's going to be hard for him to get a look.
With
their front row at the moment, because they were a phenomenal. But yeah, I think I quite like this. I think it's a sensible move. He's an operator. He's not going to be playing for England.
And as Pat said, he's someone who can fit into the Bears' way immediately. Exactly. And I think that's really important. Seamless signings now is so important. Yeah.
And he was born, interesting little fun geographical fact for you boys. He actually was born in Zimbabwe, in Harare, capital city. So, yeah, he's, you know, that's interesting as well. He's got a backstory that might be interesting.
He's got his mate, Jansi van Rensburg, you know.
Well, he's not. He's South African. I suppose they're from the same part of the world. Yeah,
they're Irish together.
That's the link.
TJP, he made a
Miles is common theme. They used to play for the same club.
You're absolutely right. I was thinking the more the kind of regional.
No,
African
geography. Yeah, sorry, you're right. I moved to club level instead of geography.
I thought you were implying that Jansi van Rensburg was Zimbabwean as well, and got geography wrong, but you hadn't. You got geography right. So well done, Miles.
Well done, sir.
That's a good trait of a teacher to admit when you're wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Students respect you more. Anyway, so those are the only two. But yeah, there's exactly. a couple of things that came up today, actually, yeah. just on speculations on other players who may stay, may go.
Yeah.
One of them was someone pointed out that Ed Holmes has just posted a highlights video on YouTube. And I've got to say, I had a little watch of it, and I'd forgotten how good
did
he was.
You have a few cheers, did you?
Yeah, well, I always remember that try scored one of the early seasons when he was on the wing, and he went round and ran in from about 40 yards, steps the winger. There was a lot of carries and stuff like that. So we don't know, but he hasn't made much of an appearance this season. He looks like he's gone down the pecking order a bit.
Well, I would say with James Dunn, Caulfield coming in, and James Dunn really has nailed that spot with Batley.
He's hardly featured on the bench, has he?
No.
I mean, I do wonder whether Josh Caulfield, you know, it's in a good way, it's because of him that actually he's performed at a much higher level than perhaps people, you know, think, and maybe he was going to be more of a kind of him and Ed Holmes being more interchangeable, but he seems to have just got his foot in. So, well, whatever happens to Ed, we wish him well, but he may be staying. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But as I said, it's definitely worth watching the highlights package anyway, just for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And then the other one I saw was, I think you boys had seen it as well, was Piers O'Connor linked to a move to Ireland. That's all I know.
I mean, there was talk about that a couple of years ago, wasn't there, when Piers was playing fantastic, you know, coast to coast rugby, part of that side, and obviously his allegiance was it England, Ireland, Australia, and was it Scotland he could have played for?
Yeah.
It was a ridiculous amount of teams, wasn't it? And I, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised to see O'Connor go. I mean, he has been great for us, but I just don't know really where he fits into what Pat Lam version 2.0.
I agree.
His last proper appearance was the wreck in November, that away game on the Friday night that I went to. And they, I remember at the time, he didn't give that pass, did he?
Yeah.
In the first half. And then there was a few other things that he was a bit, didn't quite well. And I remember someone saying he'd grown his hair long, hadn't he? You know, Alice Bannon. Someone pointed out that there was something where he was outside a ruck and he was trying doing his hair and not concentrating on what was going on.
Are you sure that wasn't Chris Bowie?
It might have been, but I just wonder whether he just shot his bolt a little bit in that game and has struggled to get back in not because of that so much, but because the likes of
competition.
Jimmy Williams and Jansi van Rensburg and Ravuvu coming in and Vakatawa. It's been tough.
That centre position is... Yeah. He's got a lot of big guns in him.
And he's still got, I guess he's still got a lot to offer somewhere. Mm. And as you say, he's a silky runner.
But the thing is, that's where I think the downfall is. Like, you couldn't put him on the wing because obviously you've got Ibatoi, we've got Heward now, we've got Rich Lane who can play on the wing. You know what I mean? So there's the puzzle doesn't really, his jigsaw piece of the puzzle doesn't really fit, I think, to what we've got at the moment. But we'd be sad to see him go.
Very
sad.
Seems like a really nice bloke as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as we know, he fits in all of the back line, but in the pecking order, it's tough to get in, isn't there? There's so much talent there to choose from.
Yeah.
Well, good luck wherever that. And let's hope he does get a contract somewhere because he's still got a few years in those legs and those hips.
Mm. Don't lie.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Apart from that, there hasn't been much else. I mean, we know that Sheedy's going. We know that now Sinclair's going for sure. The other big sort of speculation is Magnus Bradbury, that there had been some chat a month or so ago, because he did get called up for the Scotland squad and then never got used. And some chat that he might want to go back up north to sort of do his Scotland chances a bit better. But well,
you know, he's one player. I know we're signing Bill Matter, right? But Bill Matt's still 31, isn't he?
Yeah.
And if there was one player I'd love to see us retain, it would be Magnus Bradbury. I'll be honest, because I think he's been immense for us.
And recently as well.
And recently. Oh, and I just think, you know, as great a player Matter is, it's still a doubt about injury. You know what I mean? You never know. And I think if we had two of them competing head-to-head, I think, you know, we can only improve, can't we, as a squad with those two.
We obviously got Fitz, we've got Steve Luatua. I mean, we've kind of speculated that maybe Steve might be coming to the end of his illustrious, and I think career.
Well, legend status.
Legendary career, but he's actually add more of a spring in his step, I think, in the second half of the season.
I mean, he's had a very good run without injury, hasn't he? Yeah. He's looking phenomenal.
So, you know...
And also, obviously, Jake Heenan has been talked that, you know, again, he could move on to pastures new.
So. But he can't go too far because he's got three coffee shops to run, hasn't he?
So, but it's a business.
It's a business.
Right, running from abroad, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Luke Moran's doing that as we speak. But the same... Same business.
But again, if people have got any other ideas on speculation or no stuff, then feel free to contact us at Bears Beyond the Gate on Twitter or Bears Beyond the Gate on Instagram. Oh, Lee, I'm about to do the old promo thing.
Or email us
at bearsbeyondthegate@gmail.com. We haven't had many emails recently, so it'd be nice to have the odd one.
Come and email us. I was just thinking about Luke Moran.
Yeah.
I mean, what's happening with that guy? Because he's
been featured. No, he's featured like twice in this season.
Bayonne, he's playing for that.
Very bizarre situation, isn't it?
It is odd because he went in as like injury cover, didn't he? Which is why he took this great, you know, financial contract.
Yeah.
And he's hardly played whatsoever.
Mm. Don't know.
Something going on there, I'd say.
Well, Luke, you know, get in touch. Let us know. Let us know how you are.
Yeah.
Because we do miss you.
Oh, massive.
And a great guy, great player as well. I do remember when we had that Q&A ages ago, the last Q&A there was that me and Tony went to, I can't remember, it was before the, I think it was before the 20, it was after our big season, and when Pat had kind of laid out we were going to win the European Cup by now, and Moran was the one where we didn't have any pre-season friendlies, but they went to the Downs and did loads of swimming, because there was loads of pictures, and they talked about, there was a question about who was the best swimmer, and Moran just, as an Aussie, brought up, you know, on Bondi Beach or somewhere, when someone said, what's Pat like? He just shook his head and looked down, and it was just so funny. It was like, you might think this guy's great, but one thing he's not good at is swimming. Yeah. And he kind of, I think he even said he's basically a bit like a dog in a pool. Like he gives it a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And I did think that was quite class, that from Moran. It was the look on his face.
Yeah,
the disgust that him and Max Lahiff was terrible at swimming, and Pat Lamb was terrible at swimming. And I always remember that as a kind of, I thought he was a sensible head in the camp, mature, sort of laconic.
We do miss him, don't we?
We do. We obviously miss his tries and his defence and all that sort of
stuff. The sidestep. Putting Tom May on his arse.
Yeah. Tom May, maybe. Johnny May. I'm sure he'd do Tom May as well.
Yeah. Do them both.
Do them both at the same time, backwards, with his eyes closed when he's 60. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's enough on speculation. Well, boys, it was always going to be quite a short pod, but we felt we had to do one. But we had, Miles, we did actually go and see live rugby today.
Absolutely.
We went to see the Bears women play Gloss Hartbury in the Allianz Cup semi-final. They won 54-28. It was a dominant display, which means they've now got a final against Saris at Shaftesbury Park in 2 weeks' time. Now, one thing I should say is that I was a bit remiss. I didn't really look into this whole thing. And the thing about the Allianz Cup, it's the equivalent of the Premiership Cup, but they actually do it properly where they don't allow certain players to play in it. It is a developmental cup.
Yeah.
Hence why it's slightly more low key. And therefore, the Bears, they had some decent players, but they didn't have any. I mean, I know some are away with England, but someone like Amber Reid wasn't playing because she wasn't eligible and stuff like that. But having said that, Miles, it was a good one. Although our mate Matt Croup was there and said that they'd actually brought in a prop from Bristol University for the game to go on the bench because they were a bit short on the front row. It really was developmental. And I joked and said she was late because she'd only just got out of bed and she had to go straight after the game because she had an essay to write that was due in tomorrow.
What was the atmosphere like, please?
Well, Miles, what do you think?
Good. I mean, it was a sunny, slightly chilly afternoon. We had a couple of beers up there, saw a few of our fans, didn't we? We saw...
would say fans.
Listeners.
Right, fans and listeners. You know, actually, having not known this sort of rules on players' eligibility, in the last time we went up there, Hartbury were bloody good and they got the win. And we were sort of probably expecting the same. However, at half time to go in 33-7 up, I think we're pretty confident that they were going to progress to the final in a couple of weeks' time. And it was a, yeah, you could argue it was a turnaround and a dominant performance from start to finish. And Hartfree, you know, were lucky to maybe get, you know, four or five tries, but they were very good. It was a cracking afternoon, to be honest with you. You're right, we didn't see, obviously, the England contingent, you know, the Aitchison, Botterman, Abby mm-hmm. Ward. Although, bless her, did she play for England yesterday?
She turned back
down yesterday, carrying a little babber around the pitch, yeah. You know.
What? She's like a superwoman, isn't she?
Blimmin' too, right? And for fans who haven't seen it, there's an ITV on X documentary called A Bump in the Road at the moment, which is about her, you know, from having a child back to playing for Bristol, back to playing for England. I mean, She's like the flipping hole. It's phenomenal, the turnaround. So that's a great watch. So to see her today, you know, probably a bit tired, supporting her husband, obviously, Dave Ward, and the team down there. Brilliant stuff from her. Love it.
It was really nice. It had a kind of club atmosphere, as it does at Shaftesbury Park, I've got to say.
We've got something to say.
Have we?
There's some flaky supporters, you know, maybe one of them might be in the room here. There was one supporter who was, you know, had a bit of a chat at half time with the commentator. Do you know how far she travels to come and see the Bears women?
Go on.
From Poole in Dorset. Lord.
She's the one who bangs
every match, and she day trips it. I mean, we couldn't believe it, could we?
I mean, I know Poole is about, what, 2 and a bit hours, but that's an awful drive.
That's a bad drive.
You've got to go
A36, got to go round Bath, then you turn off at Warminster, then Shaftesbury.
I mean, Lee's moaning about walking that 100 metres down North Street, but like, you know, hats off to this supporter for the Bears women.
That's great. And on that note, we should say congratulations to Dings as well. Because they've just won the title.
Yeah, they had a storming win against Redruth yesterday.
105-106 points, I think they've wrapped up this season.
Do we know anyone who champions Cornish rugby?
Well, we used to.
We used to. I was going to ring him up and see what he thought about that result.
But he's more of a Camborne, isn't he? So obviously he'd be quite delighted for Dings. Yeah. I guess.
And they were nestled, Camborne and nestled sort of top half, I think.
They've done well, actually. They've had a lot of injuries. But anyway, we're kind of going off shift a little bit.
And I should say that the pick of the match was Gabriella Negrelli, who is a class operator. And playing at six, scored a load of tries, big physical presence. But she also took the conversions as well. Which is fair going. And it was really windy. It wasn't easy. So it's not often you see a forward, particularly taking conversions, and obviously I thought John Eales was the last time I could think of one.
Blast from the past.
I know. So Gabriella Negrelli, not only pick of the match, not only a great forward display, but bit of kicking as well.
The final is 2 weeks' time for today, isn't it?
Against
Sarries, back up at Shaftesbury Park. So, you know,
get up there.
We're going to have to sort our diaries out. It's going to be difficult, but definitely get up there and go and see that and support the Bears.
And I did have a really nice plate of cheesy chips, I've got to say. £3. It was actually, you know, you expect it's not going to be that good. It was, really good.
That good.
It was that good. And also I had a pint of Thatcher Zero, which wasn't quite as good.
Awful.
It wasn't as good.
I actually don't mind that, but
it was a bit syrupy.
But it's obviously horses for courses. Yeah. If you were driving then.
Yeah, no, I had one pint of Tribute and one pint of Thatcher Zero and cheesy chips. I know. I need some Rennies.
You've got to be on form for next Sunday, mate.
Next Sunday, I'm having a double pint of milk stout. And then we'll take it from there.
Pointers?
No, I'm going to have one. a two-pointer.
We can have a toilet like next to us. We can have a little caravan toilet.
We can pause proceedings if necessary.
This is true.
So we can do what we want.
Fans will wait if, you know, it's a free event. Fans will do whatever we want.
Well, anyway, you now just reminded us that the next time we're here.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be with people here. So I think on that note, we're going to let's finish this pod before we talk ourselves out of it. And unless you boys have got anything else to say, I suppose one thing we haven't done actually is predict what the team's going to be like for Newcastle. I don't know, very quickly have a go at that.
I can't even remember if there were any knocks in the last home game. I mean, most people seem to
unscathed. I mean, I would have thought, okay, so what would be our ideal, given that we have now got a run of, we've got Falcons and then we've got Leicester Tigers away. So that's a, but then it's, then there's a gap, isn't there? Because then it's the semi-finals of Europe. So we
it's
can really afford.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
But we can afford to, we don't need, to rotate. Mm. We can afford to get two big teams out.
Right.
So
okay.
Go for it.
I'm going. Oh, you've actually done Genge, some homework.
Genge.
Yeah.
Ogre.
Yeah.
Sinks. Done.
Mm.
Batley.
Yeah.
Captain Superman.
Yep.
Harden.
Yeah. Actually, Bradbury. He's Captain Superman, isn't he?
Harden. Oh, yeah, actually. Well, I should say.
You know what I mean.
The legend.
Yeah.
The legendary Luatua. Bradbury at 8. I've got fullback, Malins.
Yeah.
Heward.
Yeah.
Van Rensburg. Williams, obviously, self-explanatory. Gabs on the other wing. AJ and Rands. That's my team.
That's perfect.
That's perfect. Wouldn't choose anything different.
Same one as Gloucester, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't see why, unless there's injuries, why not? They've won, that kind of setup has won two games on the bounce, scored over 100 points and multiple tries.
But I do think it's vital that we don't go into this game thinking this is a given 5 points.
Well, oh, God.
You know, we cannot slip up now.
Because they've also had a bit of Steve Diamond action.
I mean, you've got a bit of rough in the diamond. You know, he's no mug, as we know. He's come here before with Sale, etc., and steamrolled us, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's a shrewd businessman, shrewd coach. And he ain't coming here to just be rolled over, is he?
Absolutely.
So you're right.
And their performances this season have been better at times than their points tally suggests. And I mean, they nearly beat Leicester last time out and threw that away.
It's a banana skin.
Banana skin, isn't it? It is. So, yeah, but I think that's a good shout. We don't really say much more, but just hope that Sunday afternoon, you know, it's an interesting one. We don't get many Sunday afternoon games. It'd be interesting what the atmosphere is going to be like.
Mm.
You'd hope there might be a few more people there, but it's Newcastle. So we'll find out in due course, boys, won't we?
Yeah, next Sunday for the 5 points.
It.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's leave it at that. So thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you have a good week. And as we always like to say at the end, 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Briz.
Come on, Briz.